Welcome to the Whence We Came Project Podcast, an archived audio anthology of American lives, both local and legendary, by the Americans that live them. The following is my conversation with David Little as we sit at his kitchen table. We've all met people that once you leave their company, you really don't have an opinion on them. David does not fall into that category. We talk growing up tough in Detroit, baseball, the life of an educator, and so much more. You might want to take a seat, as this may be a pretty wild ride. Hello, Coach.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm doing very, very well. Sitting with David Little, Coach David Little today. I call him Coach because that's who he was when I first met him. And we'll just start at the beginning, sir. Where were you born and when?
I was born October 8th, 1945, at Harper Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. It's where my parents migrated to during the war. My mother was born and raised here in Putnam County. She lived in Calfkiller, and she was the principal and teacher at the Calfkiller School between Sparta and Monterey. She wasn't making enough money, she felt, and there was opportunities in Detroit, and she had an aunt that lived there, so she moved up there during the war and worked on at Briggs Manufacturing Company and put together wings on airplanes. My dad is from right outside of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and he was working. When he graduated from high school, all of his family worked in the coal mines. He went and started working the coal mines, and he decided that that was not suited for him, and he decided that he was going to go to Detroit. Well, I have a lot of him in me, okay? He was one of these, he thought he could do anything, and he hitchhiked to Detroit.
How far was that, Coach?
Oh, over, I guess 500 miles or so. Good. And didn't have any place to stay or anything like that, and got a job, and ended up having a job on the same line that my mom was on.
Really?
And what was really crazy is my mother was a little and he was a little.
Oh, that is unusual.
Yeah. So she's never changed her name.
That's a great point.
Yeah. We stayed there in Detroit about a year after I was born. And the war ended. Mom wanted to come home and be closer to her family. So Dad packed up and came down here, and we lived in Sparta. And he was a butcher at the grocery store that's on the square. I don't know if it's still there now or not, but he was the butcher there. And on the side, he sold insurance. And they decided that Tennessee wasn't right for him because he wasn't selling a whole lot of insurance. And back during those times, it was a rough going in rural towns, and most of the time people put stuff on tabs, and the owner couldn't pay the help because he had to give them food or whatever. He had to take it out and trade, and he had to have money. So they moved to Pennsylvania, where he was from, and they opened a grocery store.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Yeah, they opened a little grocery store, and they worked real hard at it and built it up, and they ended up having to do the same thing. People couldn't afford it because at that time, people don't understand, when you worked in the mines in those rural communities, you lived in their housing, you bought their clothes, you bought their groceries, and it was all included in your salary. So Dad and Mom were sort of fighting the coal miners because they were competing against the coal miners with the groceries. Well, the people didn't have the money to pay for it, and they wouldn't let them starve, so they put it on tab, and they ran it for about 2 years, and they had to let it go because no money was coming in. Right. And they moved back to Detroit. That's when it all began.
Were you born yet when you went back to Johnstown with the grocery store?
Yeah, I was born in Detroit. That's where we started.
You, Detroit, and then, you moved to Sparta.
Then moved to Sparta.
Oh, wow.
Okay, then moved to Pennsylvania.
Right.
And then moved to back to Detroit. Okay, yes, we did the full circle.
And now, when was, you have a brother?
Well, they weren't born yet.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
We hadn't even got close to them yet.
Gotcha, okay.
We're about 8 years away from them.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll let you go.
And then we moved in Detroit in the ghettos, okay. I went to school at a place called Markshausen Elementary School, and Mom and Dad both worked at that time, and I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go. My uncle was living with us at the time, and he couldn't get me out of the house to go to school because I didn't want to go to school. So Dad said, I'll be home in a few minutes. And he spanked me, I think, every other step all the way to the schoolhouse.
Wow.
Okay? The rest is history. And I went to school there. I was, believe it or not, I was the captain of the safety patrol.
Great.
And I was one that I couldn't sing, and I couldn't carry a tune, and I didn't like instrumental music, you know. I like to play sports.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a little story. When I think I was in the fifth grade, we had to play what they called a tonette. It's like a little piccolo. You had to learn how to play it, okay, and I thought that was sissified. So when I'd go to class, I'd tell the teacher, I lost mine. I couldn't find it. And so, you know how the schools have concert, you know, little PTO meetings and the kids perform and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Well, my mom and dad go to the PTO meeting, and the tonette of the music classes were playing, and just so happened the teacher was sitting next to them and said to Dad,
oh, no.
David could play. He's supposed to be up there playing right now. And he said, he is. And he said, why? Isn't he then? He said, we lost his tonette.
Oh, no.
So when we got home, Dad comes in my bedroom and starts going through my things, and he found where I hid it. I would say that he wore his belt out on me that night. That might have been the worst spanking I ever got.
It sounds like you got a few, though.
Yes, I did. From there, I was the head of the safety patrol, and I had probably 30 kids that worked with me and for me when I was in the sixth grade.
Yes, sir.
And we did that, and I was bullied. I lived 13 blocks from school, and every day when I guess they were jealous because I was the captain of the safety patrol, so they would be waiting on the last corner before I got to my house, and they always wanted to push me, and you know how that goes.
I do.
One day, I just decided they ain't gonna push me no more. I fought back, and we had a few bloody noses, and I never saw those kids again on that block. And that's how you got to take care of these bullies.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then I went to, from elementary school, I went to Foch Middle School.
Now, I know that you were really athletic. When did sports begin? Have they already begun, or did they begin in middle school? Or?
Actually, they didn't start until middle school.
Okay.
They didn't have sports, per se, in middle school, but they did have youth leagues, in Detroit.
Yes, sir.
And when I was 12, I was playing on the 16 and under Babe Ruth.
Baseball.
Wow. Okay. I had a paper route. I delivered the Detroit News, and I had the largest paper route. I built it up be the largest one in that unit. And I did that until we moved out of the ghettos, out farther out in the, still in the city limits of Detroit.
Yes, sir.
But
did you stay at the same school?
No.
When you moved?
And moved to a new school. And at Foch, I was the minority.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, folks, I had to take a public bus. Had to pay 10 cents to and get a transfer. Had to transfer buses because they didn't have school buses. You had to take public transportation to get there. And I went there for 7th and 8th grade. 9th grade, I went to where we moved out at, close to the suburbs, out where Eminem, you know, the rapper Eminem?
Oh, yes, sir.
In the area where he did all of his stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Madonna was not too far away from, she lived in Grosse Pointe at that time.
Wow.
And stuff like that. So there was a lot of people, big stars at that time out. That's when I started playing ball. And played ball in the summertime for several different teams. We played 7 days a week.
Yes, sir.
We played Monday through Friday. It was in the evenings. Saturdays and Sundays were usually doubleheaders. And I did that all through high school, all the way through high school.
What position did you play?
I played shortstop, second base. We had such we won 4 national championships.
Wow.
And some of the players that played on the team that I played on, I don't know if you've ever heard of them or not, but Bernie Carbo, was a Rookie of the Year for Boston Red Sox,
yep.
Ted Sizemore, who played for the Los Angeles Dodgers and then to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, who else? There's one team that we had that we won the national championship, and I still have, I have the Covenant Black Bat. It's a black oak bat with inscribed in gold.
Yes, sir.
With everybody's name on it. The only other people that get those is World Series champions.
I've only heard of them. I've never seen one.
I'll show you one after a while.
Outstanding.
Welcome to the Whence We Came Project Podcast, an archived audio anthology of American lives, both local and legendary, by the Americans that lived them. The following is my conversation with David Little.
Well, there's one team that we had that we won the national championship, and I still have, I have the Covenant Black Bat, black oak bat with inscribed in gold.
Yes, sir.
With everybody's name on it.
I've only heard of them. I've never seen one.
I'll show you one after a while.
Outstanding.
On that team, we had 18 players, 17 of them signed pro contracts.
Wow.
The 18th person was my teammate in high school. He was a left-handed pitcher named Jim Linen. I don't know if he still is or not, but he was the head of Chrysler Corporation in Detroit, at one of the major plants in Detroit.
Wow.
He got a full ride to one of the Ivy League schools. And chose
that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the high school I went to was called Denby High School. It was an athletic factory. We won 33 games, I think it was, in football. We were the city champions all 3 years that I went to school there.
Yes, sir.
We had 2 Parade Magazine High School All-Americans that played there. We had my senior year. I played football my junior year and got hurt, dislocated my hip, and then quit playing football.
Yes, sir.
The senior year, my senior year, we had 22 Division I football scholarships.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, my senior year, we didn't have anybody that went past our 50-yard line. It was all shutouts.
That's remarkable. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I still have a piece of the goalpost.
Really?
Yeah. When my senior years, what they did in Detroit, you had public schools and the Catholic schools, and whoever's number one in the public schools and whoever's number one in the Catholic schools went to the Briggs Stadium. At that time, it was called Briggs Stadium. I don't even know what it's called now, but we played down there. and they had wooden goalposts at that time. They didn't have the fancy ones like they do now. And we won the game, tore the goalpost down, and I still...
You have a piece of
I still have a piece of that, yeah.
That's amazing. What year would...
That was 1963.
Yeah. Wow.
To give you an example of what the culture was like, and you know how things go in circles.
Okay? Yes, sir.
In 1962 and 63, we had nobody at basketball games because of rioting.
Oh, I see. Yep.
You had to have police escorts to the football games, and all the football games except for the city championship game was played at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah, right after school.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the same thing.
Yes, sir.
So it was bad. Our school was very good in every sport except basketball and track. We couldn't compete in those sports because of the racial discrimination. Our school, there was no blacks.
Oh, really?
No, not one. Okay.
So you went from...
Opposite.
Earlier on, you were a minority, and then you went to a school that was completely segregated.
Yes.
Wow, that's remarkable.
Yes. Okay.
How do you think that affected you as a person? It had to affect the man that you became.
It did, because it gave you a perspective of all the stuff that's going on right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can remember, I would... Especially when I was assistant principal and principal at the high school.
Yes, sir.
And I would have kids come in, black kids come in and say that they were being, neglected,
huh? Okay.
And that's why they caused trouble.
Hmm.
And I tell them my story. And our family, being from Calfkiller.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to mention names or last names or anything like that, but there was my great great grandparents had slaves
right
down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's several black families presently, okay, in Putnam County that got their last name from my great-great-grandparents.
Wow.
Okay. I've had students walk by me and say, "Hey, cuz, how you doing?"
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I mean, they took my... I mean, that to me, that's something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
Because, if they were treated poorly, they wouldn't have done that.
Right.
So... and a lot of families, if you go back and trace, okay, they've done the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And there wasn't, they had a good life.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, why can't it be like that today? With all the prejudice and the discrimination and all that, we're all the same. We all bleed red.
Yes, sir, that's true.
We're all born the same. And everybody has the same opportunities.
And we all die the same.
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So, wow. I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Well, to continue on,
So when did you have brother? Did you have a brother and a sister?
Yeah, I had a brother and sister. They were born in 1953.
Okay.
That's another story.
Are they twins?
They're twins.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't
they're
know
twins.
That Dennis has a twin. Oh.
Yeah. And this is a sad story. When they were born, my grandmother, my mother's mother, her sister, and her husband drove from Detroit, or from Tennessee, to Detroit to help her. Okay, they got within 20 miles of our house, was involved in a hit-and-run accident. Her mother and sister were killed, and my mom and dad took care of my uncle for, 6 months. And then his kids, they had my two cousins, they came and lived with us at that time also.
Wow.
And went to school. Matter of fact, one of them graduated from up there, graduated high school from up there.
Welcome to the Whence We Came Project Podcast, an archived audio anthology of American lives, both local and legendary, by the Americans that live them. The following is my conversation with David Little as we sit at his kitchen table. We've all met people that once you leave their company, you really don't have an opinion on them. David does not fall into that category. We talk growing up tough in Detroit, baseball, the life of an educator, and so much more. You might want to take a seat, as this may be a pretty wild ride.
Yeah, I have a brother and sister. They were born in 1953. That's another story.
Are they twins?
They're twins.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't they're know twins. That Dennis has a twin. Oh.
Yeah. And this is a sad story. When they were born, my grandmother, my mother's mother, her sister, and her husband drove from Detroit, or from Tennessee, to Detroit to help her. They got within 20 miles of our house, was involved in a hit-and-run accident. Her mother and sister were killed, and my mom and dad took care of my uncle for, I guess, 6 months.
Wow, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, that was in 53, 10 years before all this at high school.
Yes, sir.
In high school, I got cut as a sophomore in the baseball team.
Really?
Yeah, because they had such a good team that I couldn't make it.
And there was no JV or anything.
No
like
JV
that.
Or anything. No, there was 12 players on the team, and if you played, and if they had specifications, you had to play so many innings or so many games to get a letter, and if you didn't do that, you didn't get a letter because it was a privilege at that time.
Yes, sir.
And an honor to earn a letter. You earned your letter. You didn't just get your letter.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you had to work your butt off to get your letter. I was determined to prove the coach wrong. Told him that. I'm going to prove you wrong. And I worked and worked and worked and worked and played summer ball. Next year, go out for baseball, and I make it. Got a nickname. Nickname was Chicken Little. The sky's falling. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me. There's people in Coville who don't even know what my first name is. They still call me Chicken.
Really?
Yeah. That I went to school with Tech and stuff like that, or people that came and watched us play ball.
Yes, sir.
So, I made the team, played shortstop and second base. And
where did you bat in the lineup?
My first year, I batted second, I think. I can't remember.
Do I remember correctly? Do you throw right, bat left?
Yeah, throw right, bat left.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And I was lucky enough, I made All-City.
Wow.
In All-State.
Yes, sir.
My first year.
Wow.
Okay. And I worked real hard. I got several scholarship offers my senior year. Also had an offer to sign with the New York Mets in their first year.
Yes, sir.
In the major leagues.
Yes, sir.
I guess the drive that I got, my dad sat me down after I got cut, and because he knew I was disappointed, and he told me, he said, David, you can go two ways now. He said, you can be an athlete and work hard and stay positive, or you can be a bum. And he said, if you're going to be a bum, but you're going to make up your mind right now which one you're going to be, and that's what we're going to work at.
That's amazing. Yes, sir.
I mean, this was in the 10th grade. I was 16 years old. He says to me, you got two ways you can go. You can be an athlete and go up.
Yep.
You can be a bum and go down.
Right. Make the call.
You make the call, and I'll support you both ways. I still love you.
Yep.
And I chose to go.
Yes, sir.
Where I am now.
Yes, sir.
So after I did that, like I said, I worked and I worked and worked because I was always the littlest one on the team.
Yes, sir.
But I was the fastest one. I got where in high school, if I hit a ball to deep second base, I could beat it out. without any problem.
Outstanding, yeah.
Yeah, but had several, like I said, I had several scholarship offers, and I had probably the best offer I had was Western Michigan. They just won the College World Series, and they offered me a full ride. I went up and visited two or three times, met with the coach. He gave me all the details and everything. I asked him, I wanted to see, at that time, freshmen at major colleges, D1 colleges, were ineligible.
Right.
Okay. So I asked him, I said, because they had a beautiful baseball field. I mean, it was just like the pros. I mean, it was, you know, a dream come true. It was like going to heaven, you know?
Right, exactly. Okay.
And I said, Where do the freshmen play? He said, we don't have games for freshmen. I said, oh, you don't? And he took me out behind left field, and there's a big field out there, just all grass, no backstop, no fence, no bases. He said, this is where the freshmen work out. So I had Purdue offered me something, Wheaton University offered me some stuff, and Tennessee Tech called and offered me. And since I had family down here and everything, I decided to come to Tech because I could play my freshman year.
Okay.
Because Tech was, we had more students in my high school than Tech did when I came down here.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heartbeat.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we had 1,000 kids in my graduating class in high school. And there's only 1,500 kids in the whole college when I started Tech.
That's amazing.
So it was strange coming down to
I bet.
Yeah, it was. So, but I came down here and got to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I played second base the first year. Got moved to outfield my second year. And I played center field for 2 years. And then I played right field my senior year, and until it was early 2000s, somewhere along in there, somebody at Tech broke my record for assists from the outfield. I had the most assists.
Really?
Yeah, throwing people out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
I was going to say, the fact that they moved you to right field means you had
a good arm.
Good arm, yeah. Well,
people don't realize when they think that that's the bad position. If a kid can't play, that's where they're sticking.
Ask Clemente.
Huh?
Ask Roberto Clemente if that's a bad position.
Yeah. I can tell you story after story of kids and their parents complaining to me because I put them in right field and they thought they should play other positions.
That's remarkable.
But, you know, when I was coaching.
Yes, sir.
But that happens.
Yes, sir.
They don't understand that it's a compliment to your arm as a player.
Yes, sir.
If you go to right field.
You better believe it.
Because that's the best arm on the team.
On the team.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And people don't understand that, though.
That's funny. They still don't. That's funny.
And it's just like in colleges, number one colleges in the country. If you're 6 foot, 100 or 200 pounds, and can run and have a halfway decent arm, you're going to play third or first, mm-hmm. or left field. Those are far and few between. If you look at the major colleges right now, they recruit nothing but shortstops. If you can play shortstop at the high level in high school,
right,
you're going to play somewhere.
It's a team full,
in college,
team
because
full shortstops.
Because they know you can play.
Best athlete, too.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And usually the best athletes are the ones straight up the middle. Second base, shortstop, center field, pitcher, catcher.
Yes, sir.
And then the slow guys with the sluggers,
yes,
they're
the
on
guys.
The corners.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But people don't realize that. They don't understand that.
Right.
So, yeah. But that's pretty much...
Was it a culture shock for you, though, having played infield all those years and then to go to Tech and be in the outfield after your first year?
No. No, because I wanted to play. I didn't care where I played.
Right.
You know, the kids now, oh, I got to play this position. I got to have this number. I was thankful I had a uniform and I got to play.
Yes, sir.
You can be proud of yourself when you work hard and you make achieve something.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I was working to. Number one, I wanted to be the first in my family to graduate from college.
Yes, sir.
And I did.
Yes, sir.
Plus, I got a master's degree. Second thing I wanted to do was I wanted to play pro baseball.
Yes,
I had the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
And I got a cup of coffee and that was it because I got hurt. But I learned more in one spring training. And I had good coaches in Sandlot and in high school. I mean, we won three straight city championships. And then on the summer leagues, we won four national championships. So I had good coaches. I was just proud I made it, that I got to sign that professional contract.
Yes, sir.
But I learned more in spring training on the fundamentals of baseball that I brought with me as one of the tools that I used to try to make the players that played for me at Coville High School better players.
That's saying something.
Even if it was just a cup of coffee, I reached my goal.
What I would have given.
And I don't look back at some of the people I played with on the team. To give you an example, the president of the Texas Rangers, because I signed with the Washington Senators.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got to meet because he was our coach down in spring training at the time, Ted Williams.
Wow.
Okay. Then players that played on the same team that I did in the minors. I played for the Salisbury Senators from Salisbury, North Carolina. We had Jim Sundberg, catcher.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. We had Hector Lopez that played for the Yankees. We had Gene Freeze, who played for the Cincinnati Reds. Toby Hara.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're old people, and young people wouldn't even know who they are. But
I know
people my age.
Yeah,
know who they are.
I know every one of them. Yes, yeah. Sir.
Welcome to the Whence We Came Project podcast. The following is my conversation with David Little as we sat at his kitchen table.
Even if it was just a cup of coffee, I reached my goal.
What I would have given.
I don't look back at some of the people I played with on the team. To give you an example. The president of the Texas Rangers, because I signed with the Washington Senators.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to meet, because he was our coach down in spring training at the time, Ted Williams.
Wow.
Okay. Then players that played on the same team that I did in the minors. We had Jim Sundberg, catcher.
Wow. Yes.
We had Hector Lopez that played for the Yankees. We had Gene Freeze, who played for the Cincinnati Reds. Toby Hara.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are your memories of baseball at Tech? Who are the coaches? What are your memories of the games?
The first year was what happened. The guy that recruited me left before I got here.
Okay.
And they couldn't find a coach, so they got Stick Taylor. He was an assistant football coach. And my first year, he was the coach.
Okay.
Okay. And then the rest of the time I was at Tech, they hired Sid Hatfield. He was an All-American baseball player at the University of Tennessee. And each year, under his leadership, we broke the school record for wins each year. We had, I think my senior year, we won 33 games or something like that. Back then, you didn't play 50 or 60 games.
Right. So, well, was Tech in the OVC?
Tech was in the OVC.
Okay.
It was, at that time, it was divided. And we played, Moorhead, Eastern Kentucky, us, and Middle Tennessee State. That was our, and then Austin Peay, Murray State, and there was two other ones I can't remember. Western Kentucky was one.
Yes, sir.
And somebody else that was on the other division.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how did you get the news that you were drafted? How does that work?
I got a letter, said that they wanted me, and then I got a phone call, and then we met. discussed everything, and then I signed the papers. I'll show you a picture if I got a picture of the signing back here.
Gives me cold chills. That's really cool.
But, okay, I was teaching school at that time. This was 1967, okay? Mm-hmm. I was teaching physical education at Capshaw. It's when I signed, and I left in, I guess it was in December. If you can believe this now, okay, and I'm not lying.
Okay.
I quit teaching. I wasn't doing anything. 8 hours a day, I chopped wood with an axe. I ran. I went to the gym and would throw tennis balls against the wall to work on my soft hands and things like that. And then all of the winter workout stuff that I used to do when I was a coach, I did that on my own. I didn't have any partner, didn't have anything. Went to, listen to this now. This is a good story. Went to spring training. First day, 350 athletes were dressed out in Lake Wales, Florida. This was just the minor league thing.
Right.
All of them wanting the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, see, there was only 8 teams back then.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. Yes, yeah. Sir.
See, wow. It wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, so 8 teams in each league.
Right.
Okay. So first day, all we did was calisthenics. That's what they called them back then. Never touched a baseball first day. We ran, they timed us, and did calisthenics, and that's it. Next day, there's only 100.
Good Lord.
Then they come in that last 100, okay? Maybe there was 150, I don't know. It was over 100.
Yes.
Okay. They announced to us that breakfast was going to be served at a certain time. You had to wear a certain tie to breakfast. Anytime we went to eat, because they paid for all of it at the hotel that we stayed at, you had to wear a tie, a certain tie. And every morning, there would be a list of names on the door of the cafeteria when you went in. If your name wasn't there, you went to the traveling secretary, he had your airplane tickets home.
Wow.
That's how it worked. They had, you know, the rules, they had, you talk about rules. You had to be in your room by 10 o'clock. If not, you got a $50 fine. If they caught you with a woman in the room, it was a $100 fine. You didn't get paid during spring training. You don't get paid.
That's out of your pocket.
It's out of your pocket or out of your paycheck after you get assigned.
Right.
Okay? Because salaries don't start in any of the pro sports until the first day of the season. And it's broken down by game. In other words, if you make $100,000, okay, and you play 152 games or 62 games, it's divided by 162 games.
Yes, sir.
And then if you go on, like in baseball, if you go on the disabled list, okay, and it's less than 10 days, okay, you still get paid. Once you go past and you get on the long term, you don't get paid.
Wow.
Your pay stops unless you have it in your contract,
right,
that is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And for young guys less than 5 years, you don't get a guaranteed contract unless you are a
pretty special.
You know, like an A-Rod or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So each morning you're going in the cafeteria and you're looking for your name.
Yeah, right. That's the first thing you do. Go look for your name. And if your name's not there, you just go upstairs and pack up, go back to your room, get everything out, go see the traveling secretary, and he has your airplane tickets, and you take a cab to the airport, and you're gone.
How many did they finally get down to?
It gets down to, they had a AAA, a AA, and one single A team. That's it, 3 teams.
3 teams.
Yeah. And we had 20 players, 21 players, maybe 25 at the most on the team. And it was crazy. We used to, at Salisbury, it was a real small rural town at that time. It's big now.
Yes, sir.
I went back there this spring.
Did you?
Yeah. The field's gone and everything.
First time you went back?
First time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's where my wife got her COVID shots.
Really, in Salisbury?
Because over there at 65, you could get them. And here it was 70.
I got
And she wasn't, she met the qualifications over there. So since it was a federal situation, we just went over there, and our daughter got her set up for Pfizer in Salisbury. So we just drove up to Salisbury and got her shots.
Outstanding. So it's a beautiful town. I've actually been through there.
Yeah, it's nice.
I didn't realize they ever had a baseball team there, though.
Yeah, Salisbury Senators.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. But what were we talking about? I'm getting old.
No. We had talked about you got down to the 75, checking your name as you come into the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Three teams.
And then what they do is we would practice. Once they got down to that, then you started with the baseballs, and they would have like ball bags that looked like 55-gallon drums, okay? Huh. And if you were a middle infielder, it didn't matter if you were a second baseman or a shortstop, okay? They would have a coach that would roll the balls, throw the balls to you, and you had to do a whole bag or a whole thing of balls, okay? Probably 200 balls in there, maybe, making the pivot at second base, throwing to first, okay? And that's all you did.
Wow.
Okay. Then they'd have guys hit fungos to you, and they'd hit fungos at, I was playing shortstop, okay? They'd hit towards second in the hole over the bag at second, the next one would be in the hole at shortstop. They'd make you run and get them working backhand, coming in hard. They could put the spin. These guys were old, you know, at that time. I thought old was 50, you know.
Yes, sir.
And they were old.
They'd hit a bunch of fungo before.
That's
that.
All they did. That's right. All they knew. Because back then, this is what is a story in itself. Back when I played pro ball, there was a lot. Most of the ball players, they didn't go to college.
Right.
Some of them didn't even go to high school. I mean, they didn't finish high school.
Right.
Okay? And they played 20 years in major leagues, okay, or in minor league. They didn't know nothing else.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So they hung around down there in Florida, and then they'd pick up with one of the teams as a fungo hitter. And that's all they did.
Wow.
Okay. And they played games with you after they get to know you. Okay. You catch 10, I buy you a beer. You can't catch 10, you got to buy me a beer.
That's great.
But all fundamentals in the morning, take a lunch break, get on a bus, and go all over Florida, play a ball game. Come back and do the same thing every day, 5 days, 7 days a week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, we were playing the Phillies. That's when I got hurt. Playing the Phillies in Clearwater, Florida. And I go back to catch a pop-up, and the ball somehow hit the top of my thumb.
On your glove hand?
On my glove hand.
Yes, sir.
And I got a infected bone filling from it. Okay? But here's the cool part. Okay, even though I got hurt, on the way home, guess who I sat with and talked with the whole time?
Who?
Toby Hare. He was with the Phillies and got traded to the Senators that day and packed his stuff up and got
went home
on
a different bus.
Got on a bus and came to our quarter
camp.
Yeah.